Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it.
Put it up.
The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed. What's up, yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon.
This is your boy Sam. What is going on, people?
Man, we are back, man, with a Mother's Day weekend edition and Friday drive time edition of the Listen Up Podcast.
Yeah, that we are, man. What's good, man? What's good?
Hey, man, lots of stuff, man. Everything. Apparently, our coach is one of the greatest orators and motivational speakers of our time. Shout out to the post and the people who chose to give us that bit of information. But outside of that, you know, it's just been a regular deggle over here. You know, nothing special.
Yeah, most definitely, man. Sorry about not putting no content on the wire. It was funny. We was actually going to record Sunday morning, and I woke up and I wasn't feeling too good. And I was like, ain't no way in the hell I'm going to be able to record, dog. Like, it ain't happening. I was sick as hell Sunday.
Hey, man, it happens, man. But it's Friday. You know what I mean? You feeling better. We feeling good. We figure we give somebody. We normally don't. I don't think we ever record on a Friday, if I'm thinking about it.
I think we've done them before, but I think we did like a pre-recorded. Didn't we do like a pre-record on? We used to do pre-record.
Yeah, maybe put it out. Yeah, and put it out on a Friday.
Saturday.
So this is gonna definitely be a little different, man. If y'all listening in y'all cars, man, give a honk, man. But make sure you hit that subscribe button, hit the like button. Again, we've seen the numbers grow, man. We've absolutely seen the numbers grow. And we appreciate it for real. So make sure y'all continue, man. If y'all have not hit it, if it's red, I think it's, hold on, I'm trying to see. It's right below here. If it's still showing red, you have not hit it, even if you thought you may have subscribed. Sometimes they take them off or whatever it is. So, man, make sure it's not showing red. Hit that button. I'll let you know that you are subscribed to the Listen Up Podcast. And definitely turn your notifications on, man.
Yeah, turn your notifications on. If you're not subscribed to the if you're not following us on Twitter, man, please do follow us on Twitter. The shows pop up on Twitter also. If you know anybody's a Florida State fan that might want to listen, even if they don't want to listen, they can subscribe. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
man. But I'm happy to be back. But before we get started, I want to tell you guys, you know, I'm doing pressure washing and everything. So if you're in the Jacksonville area, Yulee, Orange Park
South
area,
Georgia.
Whatever, South Georgia area, you know, hit me up, 904-236-2150 for Sunshine Spotless Pressure Washer, man. Don't let the HOA get on your ass. Get the HOA off your ass. You know what I'm saying? Hit your boy up if you're in the Jacksonville area for pressure washing. Man, I guess since we've been gone, Mills committed to Georgia, because I don't think we ever really we talked about what would, you know.
No, I think, that's happened. Right. We talked about it the day before when we thought that he was coming to Florida State, but we actually didn't get a chance to discuss the finesse that was the Mims situation.
Yeah. So we're not going to get too much into it. I'm pretty sure everybody talked it all out, but, you know, Mims situation is what it is, was what it was. It's just another sign to me that we have a problem closing here, you know. It's another one of those signs that bothered me. But, you know, it's fine. Oh, also, man, if you're in the Orlando area or you're going to be in the Orlando area on June the 12th, Kenny Shaw is actually holding a football camp. And I think last time he had, like, Alvin Kamara, Dak Prescott showed up, had a lot of NFL players. I think he had, like, 10 or 15 NFL players show up to the camp last year, and a lot of former Noles also. So, if you're in the Orlando area, man, Charles Raw Academy is holding a camp June the 12th. The first session is there from 2 o'clock p.m. to 4 p.m. And the second session is at 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. I'm going to actually try to get down now. I told Ken I would try to pop up and show up, show some support. But if you're in the Orlando area, man, you know, take your kids, man. I think it'd be pretty dope, man. Kenny's doing good work, man. So let's support that as Noles, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I actually – I can't put it up right now. I'll put it up later I actually put the graphic up for y'all. You'll be able to see it during the show. So, and but yeah, man. So where are we gonna start at, man? I don't want to get too much into the Mims thing. I don't want to get bought out, and everybody know we missed on him. But what do you think about? Let's go to the NIL. I guess.
All right.
I really don't want to talk about NIL, but how do you feel about this? Now, I think everybody got upset with the whole Addison basically being recruited off the roster of Pitt. And I think that turned into a whole situation where people feel like basically if you're not a have team, if you want to have nots team, whenever you get a good player or a special player, they're just going to get taken off your roster and end up at the Alabamas, the USC's, the Oklahoma's, the Texas of the world, I guess, and the Georgia of the world. How you feel about that?
Okay, so somebody once said, you know, if you have your lady, treat her right.
Yeah.
Because if not, you know, somebody's going to come and treat her better.
Right.
What's happening in college football is that if that person on the roster, whoever it is, if they can play and they don't feel like they're being treated with 100% love and respect, somebody's going to come and buy your chick. Like, it just, that's what's happening right now.
Yeah.
Like, you may not like it, but it's basically big bank take little bank. Like, yeah. What we're seeing right now is there are no rules. So, if I want your dude, I'm going to just come and pause. You know what I mean? But if I want your player, I'm going to come take your player. And so, therefore, you need to be proactively working to pay these guys, making sure they feel like they are valued. You know what I mean? And from what I was told, the best value is actually value. You're right. Drake going to end up in the DMs. Exactly right. Like, you don't want that smoke. You don't want that problem. That whole home is in disarray right now. Right. So what I'm saying, like, but that's every school right now. I don't think, bringing it back to Florida State, I don't think you can look at your roster and say any one of my players are secure. I think you need to be actively recruiting them every practice. I need to be friends with them. I need to know what they think. I need to know how their mama think. I need to know how their cousins think, who they hang out with, what's their social circle, how do they move, how does this person operate, so that way I don't end up in a situation where, you know, I lose my best player. Verse comes out and have a big year. Georgia is down the defensive end. Mm-hmm. What's not to take Georgia to say, I'm gonna grab Verse from you. We're gonna pay this one back. You know what I'm saying? We're going to come and take your player. And so, therefore, Verse needs to already have his NIL lined up. We need to already be making sure that everything that we can do to make these players feel special, whether you like it or not, go ahead and do it. You know what I mean?
You know, I think the thing it does, and they're going to change this, right? You get enough men you get enough men over 40 years old complaining about something, it normally just changes, right? Get enough men over 40 complaining about something, it changes, right? I think it's disheartening because a coach can come in a kid's living room, right? And he can be like, I'm going to put you in the best position, and I'm going to do this for you, and I'm going to do that for you, and I'm going to do this for you. Then when he decides not to do that, right, how do you hold that coach accountable for the things that he said?
But haven't they always been doing that?
Exactly, though. But my thing is, now the players have the control to say, okay, you said you was going to do this shit. You haven't done it yet. Now I'm out. Like, I actually don't think Addison actually cares about money, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think Addison wants to play in a better system, right? I think he's saying, my offensive coordinator's gone. My quarterback's gone. I just went through spring with y'all, right?
So I know what y'all, I know how y'all looking.
I don't like this system right now, and I don't want this to ruin my draft stock. So you know what? I go over here to USC or Alabama, right? And I play in a better system with a better quarterbacks, and it'll rise my draft stock. Now, if I make $6 to $7 million on the way to doing that, you know, I'll take a little bit of that too. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, if I can establish some relationships with some corporate people in California or Alabama, that's fine too. I'll do that too. But I don't think he personally cares about, you know, I think it's about putting yourself in the right position to get as much money as you can and get drafted as high as you can to guarantee yourself a cushion when you get to NFL. I think
it's a power shift. What you're looking at is a power shift.
But the biggest problem is this. It's only 10 schools, maybe less than that, that can do this. You know what I'm saying? That's the problem.
See, and that's what I disagree though. I think anybody can, because there's always gonna be a bigger bank. You know what I mean? Unless you're the big bank, there's always gonna be another school. So no, Florida State may not be able to go to Georgia and take their best player, right? Because we just saw the cash ruled on that one. You know what I'm saying? So they came in with their offer. That offer didn't fly.
But you know what,
went back to Georgia.
But you know what, though? I think that if Norvell had a better situation and was a better recruiter,
that's a part of it, though?
Of course it's part of it. All that's a part of it. But I'm tired of people acting like the ideal of paying a player to come to a school is some revolutionary thing that just started happening.
They've been paying players since the beginning. Blue Chips was a movie based on a true story. You know what I mean? Like that movie, when did that movie come out? Like 95?
I don't know when Blue,
you know what I mean? Like when the movie Blue Chips came out, that was basketball.
And I do think the reason why
Saban tractors and dropping off cash, you know what I mean?
I think the reason why Saban and Kirby is like really beating it down, like saying, let's change the rules, let's get the rules. They don't mind cheating under the table. They don't like the idea of USC, Texas A&M, these schools that's not really traditionally known to grabbing, you know what I'm saying, that's putting they thing on the table too. They're not used to them doing it like this. And that changes the dynamic a little bit. That shifts the landscape of the player movement, where players go to. So I think that's why they're kind of like on board with like, hey, let's change some of this stuff. But
see, that's why the big coaches make the big bucks. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, in other words, yeah, you may not like it, but you understand that this is what we have to do. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
So Nick Saban, yeah, he mad. This is a new thing he got to do, but I guarantee you he'll figure it out. Right. You know what I'm saying? I guarantee you he will have figured it out the same way other coaches is. But what I was saying was, like, you may not be able to get Georgia. You may not be able to take a guy from Kirby, right?
Right.
Kirby's a better recruiter. He has a better infrastructure. They got more money. So you tried to go up and take one. You weren't able to do it.
Right.
Right? Cool. But you might be able to go to UCF. They may have a linebacker or somebody like that who you really like, who ain't, you know what I mean, who I look at and say, shoot, that dude can play better than the linebackers we got. Let's go get him. You know what I mean? And for him, yeah, it's a step up. So when you say you got, Riley at USC, we know what he can do. You know what I mean?
Well, you got to think about it, though. Like, Bob Stoops didn't really want to play the game when he was at Oklahoma. So he didn't really establish that program on playing the game, right?
Right.
So that's kind of like Jimbo following up Bobby, right? Like, Bobby played the game a little bit, but not the way Jimbo wanted to play. Like, Jimbo really wanted to play the game. You know, Lincoln, I think, really wanted to play the game. And then if you tell him, yo, you finna put me in the SEC and y'all don't want to do the level of commitment that I need y'all to do to play the game, nah, I need y'all to be maniacal. He at USC, and USC saying, yo, we maniacal. Go ahead, bro. Like, you got an empty bank. Go ahead, bro.
And it's all legal.
It's all legal. Like, go ahead. Like, we got Dr. Dre. We got Snoop Dogg. We got
Diddy had a kid in LA.
We got George Lucas, the Star Wars Enterprise. Go ahead, bro. Get stupid. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You know what I mean? Like, you realize how the big dogs eat now, like how different people view things when it becomes legal. You know what I mean? Like, you look at like the marijuana being legal. I ain't never seen more weed smokers in my life. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you may have had a person who hit weed every now and then, but everybody smoked now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, now it's legal. You've taken the stipulations off it. Well, now everybody can eat. Well, especially those people with a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? Right. They buying grow houses and all sorts of stuff. So, like you said, now Texas, what's Screw 73? So Texas and Cali money's loan makes it easy for programs to first if it's not under the table. That's exactly right. Like, if it ain't under the table, it's all legit. Oh, okay, cool then. Right. Now we can show you where our pockets lie. You know what I mean?
We
got real deep pockets. We can now show it. And so Florida State has to get to a place where they are now throwing out money, being reckless.
You know, I think the thing though,
overbidding, and that's
like, But somebody was saying this whole thing about this whole guns 287 just said, you know, the market will adjust itself. And that's what I keep trying to tell people. It's no reason to bitch and moan about this because the market is going to adjust itself. The market is going to come back and say, okay, this is what we're going to pay for players. This is what we're going to pay for a linebacker, a defensive end, a quarterback. This is what we're going to pay. This is what the market is going to dictate for us for now.
And you'll have those exceptions, but for the most part, if everybody is getting right, if a linebacker is going rated $50,000 for a five star, the linebacker's gonna get $50,000. Now, if you got a generational talent, he may get $100,000.
Yeah,
and you're gonna understand that this is dude is a little different. Like I think what it say, Manning, whatever Manning's son is, he gonna kill the market, right?
Right.
But you understand, there's only one Manning family, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so
ain't like next quarterback ain't getting, if he gets 16 million, which is some numbers that people have floated around, the next quarterback ain't getting 16 million. But if we know that a top 10 quarterback is worth a mil, the quarterbacks will get a mil. And that's, you know what I mean? And that's kind of what it is. And now you got to play the game. All right, cool. We know this is what quarterbacks cost. We know this is what everything, you know what I mean? Like figure that. Figure it out figure it out if you're Florida State and be willing to pay. And I don't think
Florida State has a problem with saying they need to pay. Florida State is like the Jaguars, right? People want the Jaguars to go out and make all these big free agency splashes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like get Tyreek Hill, get these big time wide receivers trying to move, right? But first, you have to become a competent franchise for people to actually want to come play for you.
You know, you ain't even in that circle. Yeah, they don't even consider. I don't care how much cash you throw at me.
Right? You're not at a 6-game, 7-game, 8-game win total where people can say, okay, maybe I'm just the missing piece. Mm. You know what I'm saying? They can't say that.
Well, that's a real good point.
You see what I'm saying? So the problem for the state is the floor isn't high enough for you to go out.
And even getting that bid and war.
Get these type of guys that you really want that'll really change everything for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have to raise your floor, and you have to do that by being a damn good coach and a damn good evaluator of a talent and seeing that talent before other people can see it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We don't really have that right now. That's what its problem lies at with everything.
And here's the problem. I think we look at it, and we're not sure if they're going to be good enough next year to fix it. And that's where you get into the cycle, right? Because if you say it's going to take winning to get the players, to at least get in the bidding war to get the players, and we don't believe that they're going to win enough games to make that impact, then I think you kind of look at the program and say, I guess we're done here until we get a new coach. Because I don't think anybody is looking at Mike and saying, all right, Mike's going to get us 8-9 wins next year. Mike's going to get us 9-10 wins next year. And then that allows us, now we can get in the game with some of these players.
Well, you have to do what, you know, I hate going back to Jimmy, but he's the only reference point we can go back to from this fan base, right? But you have to get yourself a position to get Tim Jernigan and Jalen Ramsey and those type of generational type. Because Tim Jernigan wasn't generational, but the big guys in college football are exceptions. Like, you need – it's hard to get those big guys, but you have to get yourself in a position to do that. If I'm a big guy, I'm already not going to really be known because I'm a big guy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And now you put me on a shitty football team as a big guy, I just don't know about that. You know what I'm saying?
let me ask you this. Players not getting drafted, right? Outside of Jermaine Johnson, It got a little dicey when it came to some of these players who we thought may get drafted. Or even late round picks. You know what I mean? Take a Corbin, for instance, right?
Yeah.
Corbin was a good running back. Is it because I believe part of the NIL deal is going to be, if I know I can't get to the pro because y'all aren't good enough to get the attention that I need, is that's also going to play into the fact that, hey, I can't come here.
Mm-hmm.
What was that question?
I'm going to go back to that question for a minute.
Okay.
I think the most important thing you have to remember is this. Name, image, likeness is just name. You getting paid off your name, your image, your likeness, right?
Right.
Now, we got a whole other part of this that's saying this is pay for play, right? Kids are not even creating a value for themselves. The school is just giving them a value, whatever, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So So that's why you go into this question right here where he says, what do y'all think will happen when these 4- and 5-star prospects with NIL deals don't pan out? Well, that's in any business, right? Like, you make investments, right? So a good investor ain't going to invest in he's not willing to lose, right? A good investor. A good investor not going to do that, right? He's not going to shovel $1 million in Twitter if you don't think Twitter in the next 10 to 15 years is not going to produce at a certain level, you know what I'm saying? Or make the next big thing happen. So kids bust out all the time. Nike was signing people for shoe deals. A lot of them kids wasn't panning out with them shoe deals. But when you do hit LeBron James, when you do hit Michael Jordan, when you do hit Kobe Bryant, when you do hit Tiger Woods,
all you got to do is hit on a few of them.
You just got to make it back. And guess what?
They don't miss that million.
And guess what? I got a big-ass pool to pull from, right?
Right. And that's what I was going to say. Nothing happens. They're going to miss. You're going to pay the $60,000. You're going to pay the $100,000 for the 4 or 5 stars. He going to bust, and you're going to pay the next one the same. Because that's just how the game is played. It happens in the NFL. There was just a draft. 32 first-round picks. 20 of them ain't going to pan out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean,
and they still going to get that money. That guaranteed money is still there. And the next year, they're going to do that draft all over again, knowing that 20 may not pan out. You know what I mean? Like, you hope you got the right one, and that's it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, nothing's going to happen. When those 4- and 5-star prospects don't pan out, they're going to get the checks. They're going to get the next person.
I'll tell you something else, though. Since we just talking college football, this is something very important I think people need to understand, too. Building a winning college football team isn't about just water cooler talk for these big time boosters, right? Like, I tell somebody this, you know, how much does the real estate go up if you're winning a lot of football games in Tallahassee, right?
Everything.
How much foot traffic happens in those hotels when you're winning a lot of football games in Tallahassee? You don't think the manager of the Doubletree wouldn't mind having a winning football team if that costs him $50,000-$60,000 to get a middle linebacker? If that's gonna make the team win, where I get more foot traffic in my hotel. They're not just throwing money away. This money finds a way back into their pockets. This is how this works.
You've seen Tallahassee when we were winning. You know what I mean? You've been in I've been to games during Jimbo Jameis era. You know what I mean? The city, it's not just the stadium is packed. The city is packed. Everything around the city is packed. The Waffle House is packed. And they feel that when we not. If that stadium only is getting 30,000 and it holds 100,000, 60,000 people, 70,000 people is felt
right
in the city, because now that, you know what I mean, that restaurant that's outside the stadium don't get nearly the biggest tab that they thought they would have. Right. All these other establishments around it this one full, so I'm gonna go to the next spot. I may not be the top of the restaurants, you know what I mean? Like, I may not be Mad Social, but if I'm that next tier, well, those people who can't get in the Mad, they come in here. So now I'm affected by the fact that only 30,000 people showed up this week. Because if I was waiting on that trickle-down customer, I'm going to lose my business. So, no, like, it is very important that Florida State gets back to winning and gets back to winning soon for the economy of Tallahassee. Like, it's vital at this point. You know what I'm saying? Like, so they're going to keep investing and keep throwing money at players because they know this is a short-term revenge. I'm going to take this $50,000 loss, hoping that this linebacker can get us to winning. Right. So that way I can then make $100,000 off the back end.
Yeah, man, filling up an 80,000-seat stadium, dude, that's a lot of money you make. I mean, the parking, the gas, the everything. Everything's up. So, I mean, and then, you know, the biggest thing I see, like, all these dudes complaining about NIL, like, bro, if Florida State was Texas, had the money Texas had, you think we would give a damn about NIL? We wouldn't care. If we was in USC position, we wouldn't care. This is about broke people when we're not broke. But the thing about it is the administration has fed it to people that FSU is so money strapped and so broke that they all believe this shit. You know what I'm saying? They all believe, like, bro, you don't get the Jameis Winstons, the Mario Edwards Juniors, the Jalen Ramsey. Like, you don't get these people, bro, without understanding
Not from Miami.
Something change your hands, bro.
You don't go to Florida and pull their best. You know what I mean? Yeah, you don't think Devontae Freeman cost, you know what I mean? Like something didn't happen. Like, you know what I mean?
Bro,
like
Jimbo came off the staff with Terry Bowden. Bro, Terry Bowden at Auburn, bro. Do you not know they went on sanctions, bro? Like they went on sanctions. Like
we all knew that Ole Miss was doing something shady when they started out-recruiting Alabama. Like, it wasn't a case of if they get caught. It was, well, when they come back, man, and find out that they don't bought a lead player. Like, it was Ole Miss. We knew it. Yeah. You knew what was happening. It wasn't a case of. Everybody who ever watched college football or seen any programs or whatever, you knew Ole Miss ain't supposed to be recruiting at this level. They cheating. Like, it was obvious. Everybody knew they were cheating. So when it came out, they were cheating. Everybody was like, of course. Of course. Yeah. But we said the same thing about Tennessee. Tennessee's a good, we know he's a good recruiter, but boy, you hitting 4 out of 5 5-stars, money changing hands. That was before any NIL deal even came about. Well, so now you get these same guys, I can now set this money up for you.
Yeah. I think the biggest problem I think, and we'll get into this conversation too, because this offseason talk, we just talking football and shit, just talking all this stuff. You know, the TV deal is killing Florida State. Being in this conference is killing Florida State. You know, you getting $30 million, $35 million, and now, you know, they just had a new thing that just came out. And if you are listening to the Listener Podcast, if you listen on Twitter, retweet the episode. If you watch it on YouTube, make sure you subscribe.
I just post it
and everything. But, you know, the Big Ten is going to hit $1 billion with a B. They're going to sign a $1 billion contract for TV money. They're going to get $70 million per school. $70 million per school. You know what I'm saying? So guess what? You may never be able to hire a coach from that staff, from any staff in the Big Ten, right?
Right.
You may never be able to build big-ass cathedrals on your campus because of what the Big Ten now has with that money. And believe me, once the SEC start touching some of that Midwest TV money, which Oklahoma and Texas, they're going to be right behind them, you know. But the Big Ten has always led these charges on making the most money. Because I was telling somebody, I was watching, I think I might have told you or told James, I was telling somebody, I said, dude, I didn't know the Big Ten made that much money. They made more money than the SEC since this TV contract expansion thing has happened. Mm-hmm. And I was like, really? And I was like, this is crazy to me. So I looked at it. Go watch any Big Ten game. They're going to tell you about the state-of-the-art facilities on whatever school they were playing in that game on their campus. Purdue, state-of-the-art facilities. Northwestern, sorry as fucking Northwestern, state-of-the-art facilities.
Every time.
It's crazy. But they making almost, last year I think they were making $55 to $60 million a school. That's Northwestern getting that. Florida State's making $30.
And that's the problem, right? Like,
you're not gonna compete with that in the long run. And if you look at it, you look at the top 25, and I told Brandon this. Look at the top 25 from last year. Now go look at the draft picks this year. The Big Ten, the SEC is dominating that. They have all the money. You know what I'm saying? They have all the money. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things where you wonder, how do you compete in this new landscape? But the problem is that you didn't want to compete in this landscape 5-6 years ago. Now you kind of stuck in this ugly place where everybody's wondering what's going to happen. Like, I'm a big proponent. I've told everybody this. I believe the Big Ten eventually will pick up Florida State. You know, I think we'll end up in it will be like a super conference that's going to be battling one another, that's going to split some of this TV money. They're going to create some type of salary cap for these schools and stuff, but it's not coming anytime soon. They just did an NCAA rule where they're saying now you can allow as big a staff as you want, as you can afford now. So that means Nick Saban's shadow staff that was like 5,000 people can now coach on the field now. You're not going
to have a try.
Each player, their own individual coach. You're not going to compete with that over time. You know what I'm saying? That's personal development that every kid is getting. You break it down your segment groups into like 3 kids per coach. give them, you know what I'm saying? Like, you
I think it's going to mess up high school football, because you tell, like you said, Alabama and other, like, they're going to pull from a lot of them college coaches. You know what I mean? If I need a player, if I need, a lot of them high school coaches, if I need a player, I can, hey, offer your coach, you come here. Hey, you get him to come with you. You're talking about, man, you're talking about chess, not checkers. So, like, as the thing, like, I saw, like, tell me, 528, so the ones that don't pan out, do they lose the NIL? No. No, like Sam was saying, it's an investment, man. You're gonna take a L. It's gonna happen. You're gonna invest in a bad stock. You're gonna lose all your money. It's what happens.
Yeah,
that's not gonna stop you. They're not gonna lose their money. They're gonna take that check is still gonna cash.
Even if a kid don't pan out, right? This is how colleges work, right? Like, let's say Nick Saban recruits, I don't know, 60, 70 guys, whatever, a year, right? And fifteen of the guys don't pan out. Right? But they become coaches, high school coaches. Then they get a great player. Guess what? They still gonna filter that player right back to Alabama again. Right. So over time, it all works out for the school. You know, that's how capitalism works. Capitalism always wins out. You know, so I think the money situation shouldn't bother people. That shouldn't bother you. It should bother you that, you know, your school may not be in the game the way you want your school to be in the game. But I think overall it's okay. So this thing, we don't need multiple five stars to win 10 games in ACC. I just watched Pitt Wake play for a championship. Both schools only dream of an FSU recruiting class that is the 20th. Win and five stars to come. It's not necessarily true. It's not necessarily true that the five star is going to come just because you win a few games. I mean, I watched Will Muschamp recruit at South Carolina. Never win anything, brought five stars there all the time. You know what I'm saying? You have to be a recruiting upper echelon blue chip players. You have to know what you're doing as a recruiter. You know what I'm saying? Not a lot of coaches can go recruit those type of guys, man. Everybody don't want to hear how hard you work. Like, it's baked into what they do every day. You know what I'm saying? So I think we cannot, and I told somebody this, recruiting blue chips, developing blue chips. That's a special talent to do that. It's a special talent to make a kid drop his ego, come to your school, then tell him to drop his ego again and take coaching. Not every player, not every coach can recruit and develop five stars and big time players. That's just not true.
So we don't need multiple five stars to win 10 games in ACC. I'm trying to figure out the software saying
this. Well, see, the thing about this with the Wake Forest thing, I want to say this though. The Wake Forest thing is this, right? The way Wake Forest and Pitt recruits, they have a plan to develop over 3 to 4 years, right?
Correct.
They don't have to be, Pitt and Wake Forest don't have to be good every single year.
They don't have an expectation. There's zero expectation for Wake and Pitt. Right.
Right. At Florida State, we expect when you got a good coach, everything humming, you expect to be winning the ACC and competing to get one of those four spots and competing for championships year in, year out, every other year. That's what you expect.
Yeah. When we get into that's all I'm going to say. When we get into the place where we are comparing ourselves to Wake and Pitt, we are now dumbing down our program, right?
Right.
Like, we should never look at it as, well, we can win 10 because Wake did it. No, man. Like, we should win 10 every year because we should win 10 every year. Like, we should never lose to the Pitts and Wakes. You know right. what I mean? Because we recruit at a high level. Right. The answer is, if we had a better coaching staff, I guess as a whole, we wouldn't. We would be able to take these – we would be taking these four stars and beating Pitt. And we'd be taking the better recruiting classes and beating Wake. It's why I've been so adamant about the fact that we doing it wrong.
Right.
We recruit better than all the teams that you talk about. I've heard somebody going to come in here and tell us how Pitt got way more talent and Wake got way more talent. Right. And I'm saying, yes, from a development standpoint, yeah, because they've developed those – 3 stars and 2 stars into now really good players over 4 to 5 years. They got a team full of fourth year and fifth year seniors. So now, yeah, they're going to beat you with your 3 stars who are not very good, and you don't have any coaching to help like mitigate that gap. So that's how Pitt and Wake Forest end up being better than you at times. However, when you are when Florida State is rolling the way Florida State should roll, and when they got the coach that they should have, and they're getting the 4 and 5 stars, then Pitt and Wake should never, ever, ever be on our level. Like that's a walking loss. We should be able to look at the schedule and say, loss. Like, you know what I mean? Like these teams, we got a 3-game schedule. I remember that when we, you know what I mean? When you look at the schedule, know you had a 3-game schedule.
You'd be like, oh, we got Florida, Miami. Like you'll look at the schedule, you'd be like, that's a tough 5-game stretch. We might lose one out of there. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like we gotta play Miami. I don't know. You might have a schedule where you look at like, oh, Miami, Clemson, Boston back College, to back.
Clemson,
Miami, Clemson, back to back. Yeah, you might drop one out of there. You don't look at it like, damn, can we win one out of that one? You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's what I mean. Like, man, that's a change. And I don't think it has nothing to do with the players. I think it has more to do with the coaches. Because we still are recruiting higher than Pitt and Wake. Yeah, they would kill for that roster. I also think if you swap coaches, Florida State beats Wake.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my opinion.
I mean, well, you know, it depends, man. It depends on how you look at it, man. But let's get into a little bit of Norvell. Expectations, what they need out of the portal. What do you think their biggest needs out of the portal?
Same need that they keep ignoring.
What's that?
Quarterback. Quarterbacks have hit the portal. I've not seen any of them on campus. I've heard why. I mean, we've heard, and we, you know, T-Wig, shout out to him. You know, I know he won't mind us saying it. He's basically saying, you know, I think I talked to him. He was saying that this is the first time that Jordan has had the opportunity to be the man. They don't want, you know, he's always basically had to come in fighting. You know what I mean? Like every season they brought in somebody to push him, somebody to take his spot, somebody to do this. And so if we can have the most confident version of Jordan Travis, then great. We'll roll out with what we got. Hope he stays healthy and feel like, all right, well, if he's feeling the best about himself, great. And I'm saying,
I'm gonna tell you something, man.
That's a bad idea.
I'm gonna tell you something. Them not bringing a quarterback in this offseason is gonna get Mike Norvell fired. I'm telling you, it's gonna be a stretch there where he gets hurt.
Yeah, he leaves at halftime. He gonna miss 2 more games. You gonna lose all 3.
I'm telling you right now. That's gonna be the one when everybody look back and be like, damn, why did he get fired midway through season 4? You're gonna be looking like, you know what? He should have brought a goddamn quarterback in last year to negate these problems that he got. You know what I'm saying? Because what's gonna happen is Jordan Travis is gonna get hurt. He weighs
the history
up.
Tells us he's gonna get hurt.
Dude, I heard Travis weighs like 190. It's no way that frame is gonna take
the pounding of college football.
LSU. That Boston College, Louisville, Wake, Clemson, Miami. There's no way he's gonna take that, and then everything just be fine, bro. It's just not gonna happen, bro. He's not even. If he was 230 pounds, I say okay, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Not even. You trying to tell me he's not 215?
No.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen, bro. Tell me right now. We gonna sit here. We gonna watch them drop some games because they playing Duffy or whoever. And they throw some inexplicable pick or do some inexplicable thing that makes them turn the football over and they lose a close game that you probably would have won with Jordan Travis. And we're going to be looking here, we're going to say, that's why Mike Norvell got fired, because he didn't bring in a darn quarterback. Tell me.
Again, it don't have nothing. I'm not even saying bring in somebody to replace Jordan Travis. Like, and that's the thing I think that people have, like, well, dog, you don't believe in Jordan? It ain't about me believing in Jordan or not. I do think Jordan can play. I think he's a good quarterback for college. What I don't believe is that Jordan can stay healthy, because Jordan has shown he is not able to play him the way they want to play him.
Yeah, to play him to win football games, he's going to get hurt like that.
Correct.
I think people keep making a big deal about the wide receivers are not good, right? And I talked to somebody about this. We talking about the wide receivers. And I was like, what do you think about the wide receivers? They're like, man, they run-of-the-mill average wide receivers, okay? Mm-hmm. But he was like, when your quarterback really ain't that great either, it make all that shit look bad, right? Jordan Travis is not a great passer. He's not.
It's not even that he's not a great passer. If you look at a lot of those plays, man, they all seem like scramble drills. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like the plays that he's not, like when he gets a chance to sit in the pocket, set it, time and route, get the ball out, it usually looks all right. Those receivers look better.
Right.
But most of the time, Jordan's leaving. That pocket didn't look too good. I'm out. And now we in scramble drill. Well, now you're asking mediocre receivers to be good in areas that it's real difficult to be good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because now they're off their route. They're not very fast. They're not very athletic. So now we asking these guys to kind of make some difficult plays a lot where good receivers make plays. You don't have that. You know what I'm saying? So I look at it. It's not even just the fact that he's not that good of a quarterback. He's not that good of a quarterback. And you are saying most of your plays are going to be low percentage plays.
Right.
Most of your passing plays are going to be low percentage plays.
Right.
That's tough.
Yeah, I mean, but like I say this right here, like that dude from Baylor may not be great to you, but he's a college quarterback that probably can win you a game or two, right? Like your season wouldn't be over. Your season wouldn't be over if he came into the game and you had 25 plays that he could run. Your season wouldn't be over if you could do that. If you could put one specific game plan in for that guy for that week.
It actually wouldn't be that much dissimilar from Jordan's game plan. That's the other thing about it.
Right. But I mean, I think that, and I keep telling people this, man, when you, it's like the Jaguars. We're going to go back to the Jaguars. They're a shitty organization too, right? Me and Brandon talking about this. We talking about Miles Jack, right? We were like, damn, why would they get rid of Miles? Brandon like, why would they get rid of Miles Jack? Bro, you've been shitty with Miles Jack. Miles Jack isn't good. He's not good enough to add wins. You've been bad with Miles Jack. No matter what we think about his athletic profile, he's not good enough to win games. You know what I'm saying? So you have to look at this whole thing like, if you've been around for a lot of damn losing, nothing about your job while you've been losing here is safe. It's okay for me to bring people in here.
Yeah.
Everybody's job is up for evaluation, including mine. I'm the head coach. I included my job.
Everybody's job. Yeah. Anybody can go.
If you can't sell that message in that locker room that this shit is serious and that I'm trying to replace every single body that exists around me.
Yeah, all of y'all. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and that's another problem going back to the coaching staff. You know what I'm saying? Wasn't enough urgency to get people off the staff. You know what I'm saying? Wasn't enough urgency to move people. You know what I'm saying? So you have I'm just saying that you have to take all this stuff into account and then say, what is the season going to look like? What do you expect from the season? Like, if you ask yourself, and I look at teams from the floor up. I don't look at them from the top up. Like, you know, of course, if this team stay healthy, they can win 8 games, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If they play great in a turnover margin, right? They're +2 in a turnover margin every week. They can win 8 games. Like, you know that, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
But I don't bake that into equations because I don't think football works like that. I look at you, worst case scenario, what would you win football games? So if Jordan Travis get hurt, you lose 2 offensive linemen. Can you win a football game? No.
No.
You see what I'm saying? That's how I look at it.
Timmy and Marcus said that, you know, he's not the quarterback for Baylor isn't coming. I don't think you don't tell any kid he's coming in to be QB2.
Right.
You're coming in to compete with Jordan. Like, you as the quarterback, you as the head coach, listen, we need somebody to push Jordan. You will have an equal shot. Y'all both start out on the same level playing field. We believe you can play. We believe Jordan can play.
Right.
We brought him in, and now that could be a bold-faced lie or whatever it is. You may look at both of them and think they're not close. It doesn't matter.
Right. You're
telling this kid, and now if he loses the job, he's not leaving for the season. Right. You have a backup. Somebody's going to win the job. Somebody's going to be the backup. So, you're not telling him to come in to be QB2. Like,
And sometimes –
because no QB is coming in to be QB2. Like, not even the dude who transferred from Nebraska to come down here. He came in with the idea that he was going to compete for QB1. That was his goal. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
We have to recruit these guys. That's why you recruit 1 to 2 quarterbacks every year. You keep recruiting guys. And we're going to get ready to talk about the NFL draft in a minute. But it's like the draft. I was telling somebody this about the draft, like, because somebody talking about the Patriots drafted a quarterback. And I was telling somebody, I was listening to this football player, this GM guy talk about this. He said, even if you got a quarterback, right? He said, if you got Pat Mahomes, right? He was like, yo, you should be evaluating a quarterback every 2 years to draft, right? Because he said, even if you got a quarterback, Because you always can flip that quarterback into what? Draft picks,
right?
Another player. You know what I'm saying? So you can't should be always, because in football, you should always be recruiting quarterbacks, mm-hmm. getting quarterbacks, guys that you think can win football games.
Right.
That's the name of the game. That's the most important position that's being played. You can't, you cannot go into a season saying, if my guy stay healthy. That can't be a plan. That's that. If cannot be a plan as a head coach. This is when he gets hurt, I got this guy, this guy, this guy, that
right.
guy.
I'm planning guy. For the worst case scenario.
That's what the great coaches do. That's why the Belichicks of the world, the Sabres of the world can lose players, man. Alabama don't have a team that stays healthy every year. The team don't have great injury luck every year. He replaces wide receivers that go down with ACLs, linebackers that go down with ACLs. He replaced a quarterback that's got hurt during the season.
It's a part of football, man.
It's a part of it. You know what I'm saying?
You got to have depth. Yeah, you have to have depth, and you should have the big – and you got to have it at the quarterback position. It's just that simple. And
you should be bringing in arms. You looking at your quarterback room having 5 to 6 arms in your quarterback room shouldn't be crazy. That's not crazy.
No.
That's
they're gonna figure out themselves who got to go well, who going to be the backup. Some dudes know they're going to be there. They're going to figure it out themselves. Oh, I can go to such and such. Some school has already called him and told him, "Hey, you can come here and start." Cool. You know what I mean? That's gonna figure out itself. But don't get yourself caught with nothing.
Yeah, and then if you want to get real with it, you tell Jordan, "Hey, man, you probably don't have an NFL career, man. But you know what, man? You could be a college football coach, a quarterback coach. Don't leave. Like, this is a relationship you're building with me. I'm gonna be coaching for the next 25, 30 years. Like, this is all about selling the job." Selling what's the real. You got to look kids in the face and be real with them. Hey, man, you're not a great quarterback. You winning games for me, but we've only won 8 games together. We haven't even won enough games to say we better than Willie Taggart yet. Taggart won 9 games here. He coached one full season and half a season. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to look at this shit realistically. I mean, I think there's way too much coddling going on for a bad program. It's too much coddling. It's just way too much of this shit. Let's get to the Mike Norvell. And go ahead, man. It's too much coddling.
I've been asking this question. Why do they seem to make excuses for this coach? I asked it. Think about it for a second. Like, we look at the articles that's been written, and we look at the articles that's currently being written today, and we're saying Mike's headed in the right direction. And I'm saying, what did y'all see? Maybe I missed it. Like, right. Tell me what y'all saw that headed. And then, you know, they talk about the passionate speech that spurs the second half of the season. And then I looked and I said, damn, we made a ball game. I missed it. Yeah. And then I realized we didn't. So then I'm saying we lost to a Florida team at the end of the season when they didn't have a coach or anything to play for, or anybody who was even worth a damn on that side on the side of the field. We lost that game, and a game which would have been really, you know, it's a rivalry game. You know, they didn't have a staff, coaches, half their players had left. You know, it was a lot. Right. It was a lot going on.
Yeah,
you lose that game.
It felt like it was gonna be a crescendo for our season to win that game and
prepare
to a bowl game.
But that's not what happened. We lost it. Yeah. So I'm saying, how do we get to all of this? Like, how do we get all of this, and then somehow tell everybody, man, we really are doing the things the right way? We then lost out on the number one player, which hosted one of the largest Twitter spaces in Twitter history.
I read a part of that.
Yeah. I mean, like, we've had, like, what are y'all seeing? What is happening that they're seeing that makes them say, we got this, we're headed in the right direction? Because I keep saying, without a backup quarterback, without anything, without any real positive momentum, you don't have anything big in recruiting. The Mims thing fell apart. Like, everything seems to happen negatively. But the more it happens, the more it's just like, man, there was nothing we could do. He was going back to Georgia.
Yeah.
Oh, there wasn't nothing we could do. He was going to Miami anyway.
Right.
Oh, there wasn't nothing he could do. He's from Miami. Like, how we expect to get him? He was from there. We've gotten players from Miami before. Why is this all of a sudden the excuse? He was from Miami. How dare we thought we could have got him?
Yeah.
So it's just like they've done a whole lot of think pieces about how great Mike is doing, and yet I don't see Mike do great. Like,
you know, I think
he's done good at times, but like you said, that schedule hasn't like the wins. You get judged based on your wins and losses. Here's the other thing, and this is the one thing that I will say. Mike ain't asking for these excuses. That's the thing. Like, yeah. Mike is saying, hold me accountable. It's my fault. We're not talking about Mims, dude. Anyway, are old. See, the excuse has been going way before Mims. We're not even talking about Mims. This is a whole nother. That's a whole nother excuse. That was a whole nother excuse. But anyway, no. So like, Mike is not asking for it. He's saying, hold me accountable. I gotta be better. And we keep saying, nah, you doing great, man. Keep it up.
I think that
Mike's like, nah, that's not what I want. I'm confused.
I think what's happening a lot is that, you know, people gotta sell subscriptions. You know what I'm saying? People gotta sell subscriptions. You know, I can't lie to y'all. You know what I'm saying? If it was some sponsorship pumping $1,000 a month through this podcast.
We come in and lie to you every day.
Maybe I would lie to y'all and tell y'all that all the receivers they brought in, I think, could be potential first round picks. Maybe. Maybe I would do that. I don't know. Probably wouldn't. I would let you do it, but I wouldn't do it. Yeah, I wouldn't do it. But I get it, right? Because people have families and livelihoods, right? Like, you know, people, you know, War Chance incentivized to sit there and say, you know, stuff like, I think he's a good coach. He's so organized and everybody likes him and all this other shit. They're incentivized to that, right? They got a family to feed. You know what I'm saying? They're based off subscriptions and selling, you know, get people to watch it. You know what I'm saying? But
the problem is though, it's the 180. Might get fired this year and you're going to hear all the stories about how ass he's been throughout this whole time. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's the problem I have. It's like you're only as loyal as the coach is to be. Like, you know what I mean? We're only gonna be as loyal as the coach.
Right.
If y'all were 100% from the beginning, hey, he's struggling. This is what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, we gotta.
You don't have to pump it. You don't have to lie to the people.
Yeah. I think that my biggest thing I've always said is don't tell me what I'm seeing ain't real. That's my biggest thing. Like I do that in politics. I do that in sports. I do that in a relationship. If my girl texts some other dude, don't tell me the dude don't exist. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can read. Yeah, I read. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, we gotta be real. We gotta be real with it. You know, if you drinking all the time and you acting like a belligerent drunk, don't tell me you're not an alcoholic. Like, I know you are. You know what I'm saying? You're an alcoholic, bro. You know what I'm saying? I think with fandom that's weird is that fans, especially in the offseason, no fan want to be told that their football team is shitty. You know what I'm saying? All offseason. And people want to be so hope. And I think a lot of these publications look for ways to sell hope. You know what I'm saying? But I think you can be realistic. And I think that for the most part, even this podcast and most of the podcasts are realistic, right? They come out and say, I think we expect to win 7 games. I think we've picked them to win 7 games. Last year, we picked them to win 6. The first year Mike got here, we picked them to win 7 games. We were like, got Tamari and Terry back, Marvin Wilson, Hamza Nazarene. I think they can win 7 games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You won 3. That's a shitty job. All right. You come back COVID next year. So, yeah. But it's COVID. Yeah. I'm just saying it's COVID. Whatever. You come back the next year. You say, hey, I think this team can win 6 games. You win 5. Right, and you was 0-4 to start the season. That's really shitty. You know what I'm saying? That's not good. like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I can't call it no other way.
Yeah, that's a shitty job. You did a shitty job of evaluating your roster.
When you go 0-4 with a loss to Jacksonville State, that's a very bad start to the season.
Right. You're not a good coach here. Right, like you're not a good coach here. Right, I can say that. With lots of evidence to back up my claim. I'm not saying that because I don't like somebody. You know what I'm saying? You're a bad coach here until you prove that you're a good coach. We thought Mark Stoops was a bad coach. Remember that?
Yeah.
You're like, man, Mark Stoops, bad coach, man. Mark Stoops did a lot of dumb shit on game day. Guess what? Mark Stoops just had a good season. Mark Stoops is a good coach to me.
Mark Stoops has put together two back-to-back good seasons.
Back-to-back good seasons.
At a basketball school.
At a basketball school. I say, hey, I put my hands up. I'll run by Mark Stoops. I take him to Florida State right now. Just saying. Being real. You know what I'm saying? We can reevaluate these things. It's okay. This shit is fluid. You know what I'm saying? But today, as we sit here, The coach that we have right now is a bad coach. Now, he can go out and win 10 games. He can go out and win 10 games next year. And I say, you know what? The plan came together. This guy might be all right. I don't think that's going to happen, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I look at some things. I don't think it's going to happen. Now, if he stay here for the next 3 years, I think he'll put a 10-win season together. You know what I'm saying? But if you put one 10-win season, you know, out of 5 years, 6 years at Florida State, I'm going to be trying to figure out what the hell we doing around here.
Yeah, you failed. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you failed.
You know, so I think the war chance, these people have to put content out. They have no other choice. It's how they keep the lights on. And interviewing the coach about their speech he gave when they was 0-4, that's dumbass content to me. But you know what? I'll guarantee you 20,000 people listened to that shit and thought, this is the guy. I think all these head coaches are fucking excellent public speakers or excellent one-on-one salesmen. That's how you got to this level, by being a great salesman. You know what I'm saying? I need you to sell the kids in your locker room and sell the goddamn recruits to bring their ass in here. That's what the fuck I need.
Don't. I don't need to get fired up. I'm not playing. You don't have to give the speech for my enjoyment.
Right.
I watch Gladiator when I want to hear fake speeches. You know what I mean? Like, right. I don't need to hear it. So it ain't firing me up. Clearly the players saw it and didn't make a bowl game. So, I mean, you could tell me how great the speech was or was not. I mean,
right.
Okay, they did play better, but I guess better is relative. You know what I mean? Yeah. They went from 3 wins to 5.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of this, though, man, and I think Florida State fans are kind of being like, this is like a disservice to most of the fans, because I think a lot of the FSU fan base, especially online, the Twitter fan base, the Facebook, these people, you know, we're a dedicated fan base. You know what I'm saying? Like, we deserve a fucking better product. We deserved a better leadership the last 3 to 4 years to navigate these choppy waters, you know. And now we sit here and we're rooting for our coach to win 7 games or 8 games so we don't have to fire him, so we don't have to pay more buyout money and put us further behind, right? So I think it is what it is at the end of the day. I think that no matter what the fuck happens, I'm going to be a fan regardless, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I might casually go root for Jacksonville State, which I am casually rooting for Jacksonville State and FAMU. But at the end of the day, I'm going to watch college football regardless. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to watch this shit regardless. I'm going to make my 1 to 2 trips a year to Tallahassee to watch football. Mm-hmm. But because I'm a fan. I'm not a LeBron James type fan where I go from team to team wherever the player go. I'm not that type of fan. I'm here with y'all.
I'm that when it comes to LeBron James.
But I'm just saying, I'm not a new age fan that just jumped from team to team. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a new age guy. I'm here with you. We can ride together, die together. You know what I'm saying?
LeBron made it tough to be a real fan, man. That's his fault.
Yeah, I'm just saying. But let's talk about it. Well, you ain't got another thought about the Norvell thing before we go to
I don't got nothing else about Norvell, man. I think his ceiling is his ceiling, and I think he got a long way to go. I hope he gets there, because that means Florida State is in a good position. But I have no evidence to show that he's been able to do it, and that he will do it. So until he does, I'm going to keep saying what you say.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing I can do about it. Did you want to take these questions? Or you want to talk about the
Yeah, let's take a couple of these questions, man. What we got here?
So Timmy asks, do y'all think Clemson is going to be back this upcoming season? Do y'all think Cade's going to take DJ's starting spot?
I think that with the Clemson thing, is Clemson's gonna they're going into the same problem we got, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Big Ten, the SEC, this money is catching up. So it's starting to catch up with them also, right? They held it off as long as they could. I think now they're going to be a perennial 10-win football team. 9-10 They're going to go back to what they was.
That's
prior,
what I was going to say.
Prior to Deshaun Watson. They're going to be more like the Taj Boyd days than what Clemson was. You know what I'm saying? So they'll plateau in the Orange Bowl every 1 to 3 years. You know what I'm saying? They'll go back to that. You know, I just don't see. I mean, it's gonna be tough, man, because
I don't even think it's that. I just don't believe. I think they gotta right now they got a they missed on a quarterback, which is really hard when you miss on a top quarterback. You missed on a quarterback in DJ, so now you're going to ask another true freshman maybe come in with a lot of turnover and upheaval. Like they lost their, in my opinion, I thought the only reason Clemson was good was because of their assistant coaches.
Well, you know so, something though, I think not that I they think, missed. I think not that they just missed on a quarterback. I think he, and this is crazy because Dabo's been really good at this. I think he's missed on a lot of wide receivers. Because Clemson has been like Dabo and Evals, a wide receiver, recruiting wide receivers, he's been fucking excellent. He's been excellent at that.
Yeah, he done found some special gems.
That last group that he had last year and this, you know, they wasn't good. They wasn't good. So I don't know what that is. I don't know what the wide receiver problem is at Clemson, but that's because a lot of what he likes to do is predicated around those wide receivers. Like we've seen him take the football and hand the ball to Sammy Watkins 10 times a game. We've seen him do things that says, I get the ball to these special playmakers. But it does feel like that's their biggest problem, to be honest with you.
I agree. I think they come I feel like they all right at wide receiver. I just think, man, DJ struggled a lot last year. And so I think it's going to be a little difficult. I don't think they I don't think they are still the top level team. I think that's going to be Alabama, Georgia. I think you can throw Texas A&M in there.
Oklahoma, Texas, USC, Ohio State. Yeah. Ohio State's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I think Clemson falls into whatever that next,
tier
group is.
Yeah, that little Baylor group.
Probably two to three wins, two to three, losses a season, which is good for us if we get capitalized. But
hey, I'm going to tell you something, man. I know y'all be talking about Dabo recruiting rankings and stuff. Go look at the elite player that came out of Clemson. Those guys were 4 stars and 5 stars, bro. Like Sammy Watkins was a big time player. Hopkins, I mean, he recruited big time players at Clemson. Like he hit on his big time players. Now the nuts and bolts and guts of his team, the center, offensive lineman, middle linebacker, safeties.
They developed those.
Those are developed guys that was 3 stars, but the special guys that he go get was high 4 stars or high 5 stars. Like, made no mistake about it.
And usually out of Florida.
Yeah, made no mistake about it, bro. Like, don't let them people fool y'all into thinking they just development you and shit. Like, motherfucker, go get big time players.
And even if they were development you, you've lost your developers. Like, you know what I mean? Did he replace those develop with other guys who's just as good? We'll see.
Better see. Texas A&M. I think actually USC has a better season. I think Texas A&M next year, not this year. I think Texas
A&M. I got Texas A&M in the fall.
Okay. I got Texas A&M next year. Texas A&M next year plays for a championship. I don't know if they win it. They play for a national championship next year.
Yeah, see, I got them coming this year. I got it this year.
Yeah. So I think Jimbo's on track right now. That big time recruiting class he brought in this year, like 3,200 players. Crazy. Mm-hmm. Crazy hard.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah.
But I mean,
he going to hit on a few of those who going to play immediately. Surrounded by the class he had last year and the year before.
Right.
So I think you plug in a few of those pieces.
Nobody's beating Bama this year, though, bro. It's going to be
ugly. Yeah, I know it's going to be tough.
It's going to be ugly this year. Bama beating everybody about. If Bama is in a game, if Bama don't win every game by 2 scores, I'm going to be disappointed. That's how much talent they got. Like, they that much better this year.
We'll see.
Especially what they've been able to do. They get Jordan Allison from Pitt. I mean, good night. You know what I'm saying? Good night, bro. Like, yeah, good night. Take care, Jordan Addison. Good night, bro.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be real tough. Yeah, it's definitely going to be tough out there.
What we got here? JJ is a gamer, but he is small, running around all day. We'll get him hurt. It's guaranteed he will miss playing time 22. Then Tate equals loss. Absolutely right, King Mac.
Yep, that's exactly what we were saying.
Absolutely right, bro. Absolutely right. But let's get into the draft, man. Who you thought? Well, you want to talk about the Jazz draft, or you want to talk about who you think had the best draft?
Oh, let me be very clear about something. There may not be something I care less about is the draft, and I'm gonna tell you why.
They're gonna lose by 2 touchdowns, bro. I'm gonna be honest with you. Saban actually might put a real number on Georgia when they play them. Like, I'm not playing. If you go look at Alabama class, not last year, year before, they brought like this big time recruiting class in. It was like considered like number one ranked recruiting class ever. A lot of it was offensive linemen. That class now is all juniors. All right. They're gonna be good.
They're gonna block.
They're gonna block Georgia. They're gonna beat them by a lot of touchdowns, bro. Kyler Ringo's still back then. They're gonna burn his ass up, bro. They burnt his ass up last year. They're gonna burn his ass up again. But go ahead. What about the draft pick?
I think it's a crapshoot. I don't think anybody really knows. I think you can look pick at a few special players and say, all right, I think they're gonna be all right. But I think you know what it is? I think the Jaguars have put me in such a place when it comes to the draft to where mm-hmm. I've given up on it, man. Like I watched the Jaguars draft Tyson Alualu. This man, there was no film on him. They didn't have no tape. You know how you go to ESPN and they got the draft.
Alualu played 12 years in the league, man.
They couldn't find a sack. They didn't have no highlight package. They just stood there talking about him. Alualu was so surprised he got drafted. He wasn't even like he was at home. He was in church. They say he had to step out of the service to take the phone call because he didn't expect nobody to get the draft. At that point, I was like, you know what? Nobody knows.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. Like, you feel like you get a Jalen Ramsey, he's going to be great. But outside of, like, you know what I mean, a few of those.
Yeah, it is always funny when people it is funny when people get on Twitter and they be like, that was a steal. Wow, he stole that guy in the third round. I'd be like, okay.
That dude could try to not be shit. Like you listen to all these draft pundits of the dudes they hate, the dudes they like, and every draft there's somebody showing, yo, they said this guy will be a bust. He ended up winning rookie of the year. Like it's every draft. I don't think nobody knows anything. I'll see it when it comes up. I trust
the development of certain organizations, right? Like I know Pittsburgh gonna develop their players, Chiefs, Patriots.
Steelers gonna figure out a way to win 10 games because they're gonna get into the playoffs because Tomlin is a hell of a coach and he gonna
the Ravens.
You know what I
mean? The Ravens yeah. gonna find a way to
yeah. You know, the Buffalo Bills is gonna be, you know, I can tell you're gonna be in the playoffs and pretty much get, you know what I mean? And I can't tell you a single player they draft.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like it's just I'm so
I wanna talk about this right here, man. I wanna talk about this right here. So we gonna do this question. That's gonna be it for the show. The Trevon Walker situation. Because I was going to bring
talk about the Bill and Napier after this one, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay. We got Trevon Walker situation. Tell us about this. If you go look at the if you go look at the 49ers defense the year they went to Super Bowl with Colin Kaepernick, Justin Smith was like one of the catalysts on that defense. Justin Smith, just go look up his stats, came from the Cincinnati Bengals. Was one of the guys Balky signed in that free agency class. Justin Smith was like, he was the one that kind of made all the big stuff happen for Navarre Bowman, Patrick Willis, and Alden Smith. Trevon Walker, they consider Trevon Walker like Justin Smith, but probably a little bit faster and a little bit more agile, can do a little bit more. But that's the comparison. You know what I'm saying? Justin Smith averaged like 7.5 sacks every season. And set the edge, and moved around the defensive line. It's just, I think, just because a guy don't do something in college, in your opinion, he don't do something in college, don't mean he won't do it in the NFL, because I've seen several times where people say, oh, that guy's just a combine warrior. Then he gets to the NFL and he be a great player. He be like, damn, where that guy came from? You know what I'm saying? And I've seen vice versa, where a guy is not a combine warrior, is a college warrior, gets to the NFL, out of league in 2 years. Done. You know?
That's why I say I can't follow it. I really have no idea. Trevon Walker could be a beast or could be a bust. And I think it may be 60-40 beast versus bust.
Like, quite frankly,
I think that's for everybody.
Quite frankly, I think Aiden Hutchinson is going to be a bust. I really do believe that. I think the dude that played on the other side of him was better, right? I think some of those defensive linemen at Michigan was better than him. And I think a lot of the scheme allowed him to just flow freely and do what he needed to do. You know what I'm saying? But
I actually agree with that.
Right, but
I'm not in on Hutchinson.
Right, but I'm just saying that's my opinion. Now he might get it. Like somebody was saying something about not JJ Watt, his brother, the brother at Pittsburgh, TJ. Right?
Yeah,
they were talking about his brother Watt. Well, he's really good, right? But this guy was saying, he said, "Bro, Cameron Hayward on that defensive line makes everything happen." He allows that Watt kid to do the stuff that he does. He's the most valuable piece on that defense.
What's funny is, as it relates to the draft, is look at Jermaine Johnson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Went where he went. Keir Thomas, who I thought was really good as well, went undrafted.
Right.
Right? because I think people looked at it and said so much attention was paid to Jermaine, it allowed. I think those NFL guys looked at that draft, looked at the tape and said, "Ooh, he ain't necessarily have to go up against the top." They was moving Jermaine around all the time, so he kind of his numbers were more inflated than what his actual ability may be. And I think they looked at it, and that's why he didn't get drafted. I mean, now, he did sign an undrafted free agency, but, you know, the reason why he didn't get drafted, even though I thought he was good enough to have been a draft pick because I'm looking at the numbers. They looked at it and said, nah, those numbers have been inflated because of who he got on the other side over there. So, yeah, I can agree with that.
All right, so we let's answer this last question. We're going to get off. How do you feel about Billy Napier being praised by the national media to turn for the program when he came from Louisiana Monroe? Well, he didn't come from Louisiana Monroe.
I think they're crazy. I think he didn't come from Louisiana Monroe. But what I would say is I think they're crazy. I do not believe in Napier. I have not believed in Napier, and I could be wrong. Again, he could try to be fantastic. I did not believe in him. I think they let go of a very good coach because, you know, they didn't like him for the most part, and the media turned on him, and now they got a worse coach. My opinion.
Yeah, I think I thought he was going to hire a better offensive staff. Mm-hmm. I think his defensive staff is actually pretty good, right? I think he's going to recruit well, right? I think Napier is going to cheat, and he's going to get to a top 10 class every year.
See, so I don't believe he will, but all
right. I know, but I think he will, right? I think he's the type of recruiter that's going to – he's hired enough people, got enough eyes everywhere. He's going to recruit well, right? It's going to be so hard for him, man, because Kirby's not slowing down. Jimbo's starting to hit another gear over there. Mm-hmm. And now you got Texas and Oklahoma. I think it makes it even fucking harder for them to win. Mm-hmm. I think he will replenish that roster with players, but I just don't think they're going to win at the level that Florida expects to win it. And I think they're going to replace him in 3 years. I really do.
I think y'all got a lot of faith in AR-15 is what I believe. Florida fans love the dude, and I've been saying I think he's a very good athlete. I think he's a very limited passer, which means you will never beat the elite teams. You will beat Florida States. You know what I'm saying? Like, you won't beat the elite teams until he develops an arm. And the thing is, I've yet to see him develop an arm. And here's the thing. You got to give Dan credit. Dan covered up a lot of his – you look at those passes that he made, dudes was wide open. Every single time they threw it, the receiver was wide open. It wasn't like a whole lot of thought, because I do believe Dan Mullen is an excellent offensive coordinator. I mean, excellent. Top class, top five, top 10 offensive mind. He schemes guys open. He's smart. Billy or whoever is calling plays over there is going to have to show me what, you know what I mean? Like, can they do that? Because I think that also made AR look a whole lot better. If I go into a game plan, if I'm a good defense coordinator, I'm going into the game plan saying, keep him from running. We ain't got to get no sacks. Keep him from running. Everybody stay home. Keep him from running. Let's see if he can beat us with his arm. And I have yet to see it, because that's what Georgia did.
Yeah.
And Georgia killed him. And Dan did it on purpose. Let's throw him out there for Georgia. Y'all think he hot shit? Let's throw him out there for Georgia. Like, I believe that's part of what got him fired. Like, you listen to the talking heads afterwards. Why would he throw him out there? Well, y'all was asking for him. Y'all kept telling me the reason why we were losing with this other dude. I'm telling you that I know the practice. I know what this kid can and can't do. I'm going to show you against a real coordinator and a real defense, and let's see what he can do.
Yeah.
And we saw it. I think there's other teams who are smart enough. So I don't I just don't believe in Napier. I definitely don't believe in AR-15. But you know, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see, man. But if you're still here, man, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Man, we are closing to 500, man. I really want to get to 500 before the season start, man. So even if you know people that don't want to listen to the show, make them subscribe, man. Grab the kid's phone, make them subscribe, and let's get to 500, man, and we'll ride into 1,000, because, you know, I really don't want to have a show that's full of advertisement. I really want to have a show that's like kind of just like pushed by the fans and by the people that listen to the show.
Hey, yeah. But if you're advertising, you want to advertise, you know, we'll throw a commercial right here. No, for real. No,
it was listen, good. We
really good, appreciate y'all, man. Like, the fans is what drives this podcast. You know, y'all keep driving it. Like I said, we've seen the numbers go up. If you haven't hit the subscribe button, man, I know, you know, YouTube does some funny things sometimes. So I know people said, man, I thought I was subscribed. I didn't realize I wasn't. So, man, just double check if you haven't, you know what I mean, make sure you've hit the subscribe. If you're on Twitter, get to YouTube, listen up podcast, hit the subscribe button, everything, man. But look, listen, we appreciate y'all. Women, mothers, if y'all listening out there, happy Mother's Day. To all the good mothers out there, man. All the bad ones too, shoot. You had children, hey, happy Mother's Day to you. Sam, you got anything?
No, man. I appreciate everybody, man. I'm happy to be back. We'll do another pod. I'm going to try to do another one next week, man. I know we got to space them out a little bit because, you know, when the dog days of summer. But, you know, but keep dropping questions, man. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on, what is up? I don't know. Twitter and YouTube. You know?
Twitter, YouTube, Spotify, I think is where it's
yeah, get on Spotify. And Apple. Get on Spotify. Get on Spotify. If you're not on Apple, get on Apple. I'm going to drop those links in the bio also. So, all right, man.
All right. Y'all be all good. Just listen up podcast. We out. You just heard Listen Up Podcast. Yep.